Okay, we're recording. Okay, so we're on Daf Kuf Beis today, 102A, three lines from the top. Okay, Kuf Beis, Amud Aleph, and Eruvin. This is it. We're getting very close to the end, everybody. Very close to the end. All right. So the third line, Manitin, Negar Nigrar. So this is talking about a peg. In other words, the peg used like to lock the door. Let me get a picture up for all of you. Let me look at it here. Where is picture? One second. Okay. One second. Okay, so here's the neg here's the peg. Everybody see the peg? So use it to like lock the door. So he says. So back in the Mishnah, neger hanigrar. So if it's dragging on the ground, no limba mikdash of loba medina. So in other words, the more the question here is it bona? Is it building or not? So the more it's attached to the door, the more it's like viewed as part of the building, the less it's viewed as being bona. So the Tana Kama says negar nigrar, if it's attached, here you see the picture, it's attached by a rope to the door. You see, so with negar nigrar, nolin boba mikdash, he says that you could lock a door in the base of mikdash. I guess they had doors there. We'll see in a minute what's doing with that. They had doors there in the base of mikdash that way. Avoloba medina, but not outside the base of mikdash. So it means that this Tana holds that putting the bolt or handling this bolt when it's attached to the rope, that using the bolt is asur on a drabanan level. So in the base of Mikdash, many dinim drabanan, were relaxed because if it relates to the avoda, so it can relate to the avoda if they need to lock a door that has and the door has ketoret or something else in it. So that's for that. He says v'hamunach kan asur, but munach if it's just lying there and it's not attached. So that's prohibited in the Beis HaMikdash, and it's prohibited outside the Beis HaMikdash. That's according to the Tana Kama. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Hamunach Mutar B'Mikdash B'Hanigrar B'Medina. According to Tana Rabbi Yehuda, even if you have the Negar HaNigrar, that's a green light. You can use Negar HaNigrar. He doesn't view that as in any way, have anything to do with Bona. But if it's Munach, then that's prohibited on a drabbanan level, but it's permissible in the base of mikdash. So the idea is that munach is the worst case, and when it's nigrar, that ameliorates it somewhat. But it's according to the Rebbe Yehuda, it's permissible at that point in time, but according to the Tana Kama, not. Okay, all right. Let me just do a few lines in the Gemara, and then I'll pause. Okay, so let's look in the Gemara. So again, it's the same idea that we had. Or the similar idea we had with the windowsill and with the door. And the idea is like when it's attached to the building, it looks like it belongs there. It's less bona, and the less attached it is, the more it is bona. So the Gemara says, Tan Rabbanan, we learn in the Braisa, Ezu Negar HaNigrar, Shlo Noah LeBamikdash. The Braisa is elaborating on what we learned in the Mishnah. What's the peg that's nigrar? It means it's dragging along on the floor. He says that you could lock a door in the base of Mikdash, but Loba Medina. Medina means outside the base of Mikdash. You can't. That's like the Tana Kama. Kula Shekashur V'Talui, if it's tied and it's suspended, he says, V'Roshoachad Magila Aretz. And one end, reaches the ground. In other words, if you look in picture 76, you see the Negar HaNigrar that's Talui. And one end is hitting the ground. So that's the case, according to the Tana Kama, that's prohibited to use outside the Beis HaMikdash, but in the Beis HaMikdash is permissible. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, and here the Bach changes the girsa, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, avzeh b'medina mutar. Ratana Rabbi Yehuda says, no, even this case in picture 76, outside the Beis HaMikdash, you could also use it. He says, Ela ezu neger shnoelim b'mikdash v'loma medina, which is the peg that you can use in the base of Mikdash, but you can't use outside the base of Mikdash. Kol she'enu lo kashur v'lo tanlui. In other words, if it's totally, in other words, it's not in any way attached to it. It's just lying on the ground. If you see, like bays, you see the neger, he's just lying down here and it's not attached. This one, he says, v'shomto umanicho b'keren zavit. And then you'll pull it out and you'll leave it in the corner when you're done with it. That's the case, according to the Tana Rabbi Yehuda, that you can't use in the Medina, but you could use in the Beis HaMikdash. So the idea is, if it's prohibited on a Drabbanan level outside the Beis HaMikdash, inside the Beis HaMikdash is permissible. As I'm just repeating myself, the Gemara has a klal, ein shvut b'mikdash. There's no, Isurim Derabanan in the Beis Hamikdash, but it doesn't mean totally, like Rav Simon says, we're going to hear Rav Simon hopefully on Sunday. It doesn't mean totally no Derabanans in the Beis Hamikdash, but it means those Derabanans that interfere with the Avoda are relaxed and not pertinent. So just a few more lines. So Am Rav Yehuda Mar Shmuel, Rav Yehuda says the name of Shmuel, Halacha K'Rav Yehuda Ben Nigrar. The Halacha follows the Tana Rav Yehuda by the Nigrar. So it means, in this case, in picture 76, Rav Yehuda says the name of Shmuel, this you're allowed to use outside the Beis HaMikdash if it's like this. You see in picture 76, you're allowed to, not like the Tana Kama of the Mishnah. But when it comes to the one that's just like Munach over here, so there we don't follow Rabbi Yehuda, and there we say that in Hachinami, if you use that one, so then that would be a Malacha Doraisa. All right. Now, Amarava, Behusha Kashur Bedelet. So, one second. Yeah. So we said the halacha was like Rabbi Benigrar, if it drags on the ground, attached to the door. He says v'husha kashur bedelet, but it has to be attached to the door with the string. Then that's the permissible. Okay, let me stop for a second. You've all been very patient. All right, who's got questions, comments, or thoughts on anything we did so far?
What did Rava say in the end?
Yeah, Rav is saying, we said the halacha was like Rabbi Yehuda ben Nigrar. It's like with the peg that's dragging along. He says, but it has to be kashur bedelet. It has to be attached to the door. You see? It has to be attached to the door. In other words, we're saying you're allowed to use this peg when it's attached to the door. That's what he's saying. But it has to be attached to the door. It can't be attached. You see, it says, I think, mezuzah here. It can't be attached to the side posts. It has to be attached to Dafka to the door. Okay.
Yep.
Okay. Any other questions? Comments?
We have a block. When we open up the door to the shul, there's a block of wood that you put under the door.
A doorstop.
I don't know what you're going to say. It's a doorstop. This is a detached piece of wood, a triangular piece that you push under the door. So the door doesn't close.
I don't think, again, you know, I think that's much less objectionable, because here it's like you're sticking something in, like it's going into the ground. It looks like even here the Gemara says when it's attached, it's permissible. But here, when you have the loose peg, you're sticking it into the eskufa. It's going into the ground or into the stoop. You're sticking it into the door stoop, but the
door sill.
Okay, the door. Well, I don't know if it's the door sill, because the door is here. It's not. I don't think it is the door sill. It's not where the door is per se. It's right outside the door. But anyway. But the
I think a doorstop doesn't look like bone. That's the whole idea.
I don't think there's any halakhic problem using the doorstop.
It doesn't look like bone.
Okay, you think there is a problem or not a problem?
No, it's no problem.
No, I don't think so either. Like, I don't think so either. Okay, let me move on. Now, the Gemara says, everybody mute themselves, okay? He says, so we said it has to be kashur bedelet. We said it has to be, let me get the picture book back up again. So it has to be tied to the door in order to have the heter to use it. Ini, is this true? But Rabbi Tavla iklu mechuzah. Rabbi Tavla came to mechuzah town. V'chaza luhu dehabatali be'iver d'dasha. He saw this door peg, and it was attached to like the crossbeam. How does he translate iver d'dasha? He says. It was attached to the bar of the door. So you see in the picture, here's the bar of the door. So it's not attached to the door. In other words, the key is that for the heter, it's attached to the door. So it's attached to the door. It's like a piece of the door. So it's not bona. But if it's attached to the mezuzah, I got a problem. So now he comes in and he sees it's not attached to the door. It's attached to the door bar. You see the bar, at least is the way that the Perush Chai imagines it, and it's hanging from there. So back on the Gemara, he says, V'chazalu da'vitali b'ibra d'dasha v'lo amar luhu v'lo midi. He didn't say anything to them. Look how, you know, careful you have to be when you're a gadol. even if you don't say something, everybody says, he was here, he didn't say something. That means it's kosher. So he says here, so the Gemara says, Ahu nital b'igudo hava. He says there, it was a very strong tie. In other words, this rope was a strong connection to this bar. So here he's saying, even if the rope is not so strongly connected, it's good. But if it's connected to the bar and it's a strong rope, so that's a different heter. So it means like the strong rope is like making up for the other chisaron. It's like a permanent attachment. Rav Ivya Ikla Neherda, Rav Ikla came to Neherda, Chazilu Gavra, Dahavaka Katir Begemi. He saw a person, he had the peg was tied with like reed grass, which is a very, very insignificant type of tie. And here you see the picture of it. If you can't imagine the reed grass, this is reed grass. He says, Amar, Dain lo nitrok. He said, with this, you can't lock the door. In other words, so the idea is that you could use it if it's attached even lightly to the door. Reed grass is too lightly. And if it's attached strongly even to the bar, then you could use it as well. Okay? Now, let me just do a few more lines, then I'll pause. By Rabbi Zera, Nikmaz Mahu. So Rabbi Zera asked, what if it was Nikmaz? Here he has, Nikmaz is when the Yiskufa is like this door stoop. Okay? So let's say, in other words, you see there's a hole here where you stick it in. What if the thing you stick it in, it goes not only through the door stoop, but it goes into the ground? When it goes into the ground, that also cuts towards more bona. Do you understand? Like I'm putting something in the ground, it's like more bona. It's not me making the hole is there already, but it's like you're attaching. So he says, by Rabbi Zeira Nikmaz Mahu. Amr of Yosef, Ma'iti Baile. What was his problem? Lo Shmilei Hadatanya, didn't he hear that which we learn in the Braisa? Nishmat Asur. If it's totally detached, we said you can't use it, that we got. Nikmaz Mutar. The Braisa says if it's Nikmaz, you could use it. He says, Rabbi Huda Amar, Nikmaz. Rabbi Huda says, if it's Nikmaz, Afal Pisha Eno Nishmat, even though it's attached, Asur. So it comes out that Nikmaz, you can't do it. But Amar Rabbi Yehuda, Amar Shmuel Halacha Rabbi Yehuda ben Nikmaz. So Rabbi Yehuda's name is Shmuel, Halacha follows Rabbi Yehuda ben Nikmaz, meaning if it's Nikmaz, you can't use it. But Tam Amai, what's the problem with Nikmaz? So Amar Abaye Mishum Demechsi Kibona. It looks like Bona, which we've been speaking about, but it looks much more like Bona when it's Nikmaz. All right, just one minute. Okay, let me do four more lines, and I'll pause. So the Gemara says, "By mine, Rav Nechumi Bar Zachari Me Abaye, Nechumi Bar Zachari Es Abaye, Asalu Beit Yad Mahu." What if you created a handle? Does he have a picture here? No, that he doesn't have a picture for. But if he creates a handle for the peg, what's the halacha there? So he says, now presumably he means, even if it's not attached, he says, now it looks like a pestle. Can I secure the door with it even when it's not attached? In other words, if it looks like a keli, so then I'm not going to think I'm like building something attaching to the structure. So he says, Amar le, bukta kamar, you're talking about like a pestle? So itmar, amar of nechumi barada, salabit yad mutar. So then that's permissible. That's clearly not something that's going to be, you know, permanently attached to the building. Okay, let's see. Who's got questions, comments, thoughts on anything we did so far? Malka, you're all in red tonight, Malka. You're becoming like a splash of red, at least on my computer. All right. Who's got questions, comments, or thoughts?
Can you go over to the Nikmaz case?
Yes. One second. All right. So here you see the picture, Yosef?
Which picture?
79. Yes. You see 79? Yes. You see the hole over here?
Yes.
Now you see here it says a skufa. That's a structure. Right. That's the door, the porch. And then the hole goes down into the ground. So if I stick this peg like over here and it goes not just in the skufa, but it goes in the ground, that looks more like binyan.
Building. Yes.
Like I'm building something. So that's what he was asking. So it came out Nikmaz, you're not allowed.
Not allowed.
All right. Okay. All right. Any other questions, comments, or thoughts? Okay, so we're on the two lines above where it gets wide on Kuf Beis Amud Aleph. All right. The
last case, does it have to be attached to the door or no?
With the Beit Yad? No, with the Beit Yad, it doesn't. No, even if it's not attached to the door, but
it's
it has a Beit Yad, it's clearly like nothing to do with building.
It's a Kaylee.
Right. Okay. Now, Okay, so Hahush Sharita. Now this is a totally different topic, and this just relates to Muksa. It's got nothing to do with what we spoke about before. It's like a new chapter almost. So the Gemara says Hahush Sharita, the Havabe Rebbe Padat. There was this like heavy beam in the house of Rebbe Padat. Dava Midlu La Beasara. It would take 10 people to lift this heavy beam. He says Vishadu Le Adasha. They put it like blocking the doorway. Velo Amar Lahu Velo Midi. He didn't say anything to them. In other words, the question is the heavy beam muksa on Shabbat? He says Amar Tor Kli Ale. He says it has a kli because the heavy beam could be used as a seat, as a bench. So he didn't feel it was muksa because it's like it could be used for the bench. Hahi asita, asita is the mortar, like the bowl where you're crushing the drugs or whatever. Hahi asita to have it beimar Shmuel. So this was a big mortar, and I think Rashi even has a word that looks like that. Let me see where asita is. Yeah. If you look in Rashi, six lines above where it gets wide, everybody see it? Asita mortar. So you see, like there, Rashi, I guess our English word mortar must come from, you know, a Latin root or French. But you see, it's there. It's mentioned in the Rashi. So I guess you could even learn English from the Gemara. You know, it's good for your SATs. Okay, so so the Gemara says, "Hahia sita dahavet b'mar Shmuel." There was this mortar in the house of Mar Shmuel, dahavam machzeket adriva, and it held adriva, which is a letech, which is half a kor, which is 15 sa'ah. And the art scroll says that's between 33.75 and 60 gallons. So it's humongous to my way of thinking. That's like a small bathtub. He says here, Shari Mar Shmuel Mishti Yadasha. So Mar Shmuel permitted them to like block the door with it. He says, Amar Torah Kli Aleh. It's a Kli. So in other words, if something's a Kli, it's not Muksa. And that's the, I mean, if it's a kli, it's malachto the heter. So then it's not muksa, and then I could do other things with it as well. All right, who's got questions, comments, or thoughts on anything I did? Okay, I'm moving forward.
So as long as it's usable for something, it's not considered muksa, even though it's heavy or big.
In other words, right. In other words, if it has a usage and it's designated for permitted usage, so it's a kli, and then I could, you know, do whatever I need to do with it.
Doesn't matter how heavy it is or whatever.
That's what Gemara seems to be saying. Yeah. Okay. All right. Let's see. All right. Now the third wide line on Kuf Beis Amud Aleph. Shalach Le Rami Bar Yecheskel Rav Amram. Name. Now again, this is like another different topic. We're going to go into the topic of Ohel Arai, which we had yesterday. Ohel Arai is a temporary ohel. So you're not allowed to, so an ol kavu is prohibited on a Torah level. An ol arai is permitted, prohibited on a drabbanan level. But the Gemara is going to have heterim for ol arai. So he says, Shalach lein Rami bar Yecheskel Rav Amram, neimalan mar mehalein mili malitha da'amritlan mishmei de Ravasi, bekipit da'arba. He asked him, could you tell us some of the nice words that you would say in the name of Ravasi, bekipit da'arba. Kipit da'arba. Oh, look, by the way, here you see the picture. You see, here's here's the beam against the door. You see it? So the beam is good as a seat, but he's using it to block the door. And here he's got the mortar, which he's blocking the door with. You see it, Yosef, everybody? Okay, so now we're up to picture 84. He has a boat, and you see the ribbings in the boat? All those like semicircles? So he says, tell me some of the wonderful dinim you had to say about this. So Shalach Leh, he sent back to him, Hachi Amar Ravasi, Hanikipi da arba bizman sheshim tefach. If the ribbings are each a tefach in width, he says inami ain bahem tefach shlosha. Or if they're less than a tefach, but there's less than three tefachim between one and the next one, less than three tefachim is lavud. It's closed up. He says maybe machatzelu poreis aleihen. A person can bring a mat and spread it over them. And you see, here's the boat, and you see, here's a mat spread over some of the ribbings of the boat, meaning. If it's already an ohel and I'm just increasing the ohel and it's an ohel arai, a temporary ohel, I'm allowed to do that on Shabbat. Do you have it? So in other words, so he's saying if the ribbing is a tefach in thickness, so that already constitutes an ohel and it's got a roof and a wall. So then I'm just, if I add the canopy on, I'm just adding on to it. Or if it's thinner than that, but it's less than three tefach between one ribbing and the next, that also is mitztaref because it's lavud. He says, My taima, look in the Gemara, my taima, mosi fol olarai hu v'shapir dami. You're just adding on to an olarai, and you're allowed to add on to an existing ohel. He says, to an existing olarai you'd add on to. So the Gemara says, hanau dichri, with these certain rams, and you see here, we're going to see a ram. You see, here's a picture, you see some rams in here. All right. So he says, hanau dichri, dahavu le the Rav Huna. The Rav Huna owned certain rams. He says, "Divimama ba'utula." So during the day they needed shade. He says, "Uvalelia ba'yavira." In the evening they needed the air. They needed the fresh air. So during the day, let's say during the week, so they need the shade. So he's got something rolled over here to give them shade, and then at night he rolls it back so they get the air. So he says, "Atla kami derav." So he came for Rav. He asked, what do I do with the rams on Shabbos? How do I give them the shade and the air? Because I don't want to make an OL and I don't want to destroy an OL. So he says, Amarle, Zil Kroch Budya. He says, go get a mat and roll it up. And you see, here's the rolled mat. You see where Aleph is. That's the rolled mat. He says, Vashir by Tefach. And leave it one Tefach, you know, covering it. So here, one Tefach is covering it. Okay? And you see, that's what he says, one Tefach. He says, Lamachar Pashta. So the next day, if you roll it out, you're just adding on to an Ohel Arai. I can add on to an Ohel Arai on Shabbat. All right. Who's got questions, comments, or thoughts on anything I just said?
How does the Tefach make this into an Ohel, even in the first case?
We said that the Tefach is like the minimum roof area to constitute an Ohel Arai. You understand what I'm saying? So if the roof is one Tefach in thickness, That's an ohel. Then I have a covering, and then I have a wall. That's the ohel arai.
We said that tonight.
I said that a few lines before. That in essence, right? All right. Any other questions, comments, or thoughts?
You take a blanket that's not attached. You know, you have a mat number one. Can you put a blanket on afterwards? That's not attached.
Wait, what are you putting it on? I'm getting confused. Well, give me what are you confused?
Instead of unrolling the mat. I'm talking in a carriage. Instead of unrolling.
The, whatever you have. If it's the blanket is fine as long as the blanket is there already. In other words, I can't.
No.
In other words,
he's asking if the blanket was not there. You're adding the blanket.
No, if the blanket wasn't, you want to, what do you want to do? You have a, kill me here again. You have a carriage, and what are you doing?
You have, I don't know, the canopy of the carriage is unfolded a little bit, right? But then you want to pick up a blanket to finish it off.
Well, never mind. And you want to take a blanket and do what? And to
cover the baby.
Yes, I have to double check, but if a canopy is partway extended, and you're just taking a blanket and putting it over it, l'chora, I would think that would be okay because it just sounds like it's mosif on a ohel arai. That's the way it sounds like to me. So I would think that's permissible, but I need to look into it, be 100% sure.
Wouldn't it have to be there from before?
Yeah, but he's saying it's partially covered already. In other words,
take this cheap case that's already there. You just bring something else and cover the rest.
Right. That's the way it sounds like. From the way it sounds, in other words, that the canopy is partly extended. I don't know why you don't extend the canopy further. That we would normally.
You want something bigger. You want to cover the whole thing.
Yeah. So I don't think, to me, it doesn't sound like it's a problem. But I can't be 100% sure until I ask around. But that's the way my thinking. Okay, let's take a look. All right. Let me take further in the Gemara. And again, that assumes that you said the canopy was partially extended. So you're not creating the oil. The oil is existing already. All right. Let's take a look back in the Gemara. All right. Listen, somebody got to unmute themselves. Let me go back.
But the Gemara didn't say bring something else. The Gemara just said open what you already have there. So it has to be something that's already there.
Yeah. Well, to my way of thinking that, if let's say he over here he would take let's say it would be partially extended and he extends as the blanket to it, I don't see why that. Or let's say here he's got a covering and he like here the Gemara said if he's got the ribbings, that's the OL, he could take something and put it on top of it. So that's what I'm thinking would be the same thing. That's what I'm thinking. All right, now let me just mute because people are unmuting and not being okay. Now everybody's muted. Okay, listen, when you unmute yourself, we hear all your background noise. Okay. So let's see what's doing. Okay, let's see back in the Gemara. So we're 5-6 lines from the bottom. Amarav Mishum Rebbe Chia, Vilon Mutarn Soto. He says you could spread out a curtain, like for privacy on Shabbat. Let me get this in. You could spread out a curtain on Shabbat. He says, Umutar Leporko B'Shabbat, and I could take it down on Shabbat. Now we're up to Kilat Chatanim. Kilat Chatanim is a canopy, all right? So the Gemara says, Kilat Chatanim, Mutar Leporko Ulintota B'Shabbat. Person could take it apart and set it up on Shabbat. So Amrav Sheshi B'Rei Rav Idi Lo Amran El She'ein Begago Begaga Tefach. He's talking about that at the, in other words, here's the bed, and then here's the Gag, like the crossbeam is the Gag. So the Gag is less than a tefach. So then I don't have an OL with it. So it's less than a tefach. He says, Aval yesh begag a tefach asur. If there's a tefach width over here, so I can't set this whole thing up on Shabbat because I'm creating an OL arai. He says, V'chi ein begag a tefach. And when I gave the green light, when the Gag doesn't have a tefach, he says, and the Bacha is nami lo amran, ela she'ein bepachot mishlosha samach legag tefach. That within 3 tefachim of the apex, you see where my arrow is here, there's not one tefach width here. There's a picture 89. It doesn't spread out to be one tefach within 3 tefachim. Here he's got the 3 tefachim on the hypotenuse. In the art school, they had it on the, on like, I don't know, the middle thing. But the he says, "Aval yesh b'pachot mishlosha samach legag tefach," if within 3 tefachim of the apex, it spreads out in one tefach, you're still in asur. And we said, even if it doesn't spread out to be one tefach, nami lo amran, el she'ein. In other words, the way it's only coming out, it has to have a very sharp angle to be permissible. Nami lo amran, el she'ein, turn page on the top line on kuf beis and beis, ein b'shipua tefach. There's ein b'shipua tefach. It means that at the base, it doesn't add up to one tefach on either side of the central beam or the central, you know, whatever you want to call it. He says it doesn't have one tefach spread on each side of where the, you know, where the cross beam is on top. So then if it's spreading to a width, you know, in essence of 2 tefachim, so then that's also called like creating an oel. You're creating a roof on it. In other words, the idea is if there's no roof, there's nothing I can call the roof. There's no tefach on the roof, I'm okay. But there are substitutes for it. And if it spreads wide, then I have it. Now, Rashi says it comes out then that this whole ohel, the bed would be like less than 3 tefachim, because I'd have one tefach here, and less than a tefach on the thing. He says, what if the bed is less than 3 tefachim? So Rashi thinks that the Gemara is actually talking about a bed that's got multiple peaks. You see this picture, 92? So it's got multiple peaks, and then I could have a situation where it's permissible. If it's a sharp angle, it's permissible, but if it's a wide angle, then it's not permissible to set up or take apart on Shabbat. Let me just get to the next mission, and then we'll take some questions, comments, and thoughts. But Amar Rav Shisha B'Rei Rav Idi, Siyana Shari, he says that Siyana Shari is, he says, a felt hat is permissible. He says, V'atanya Asur, but in Raisa we learn it's not permissible. So it's Lokasha, Hadi Be Tevach, Hadlei Be Tevach. So the Gemara thinks right now, if the brim, the Gemara thinks right now, here you see the hat, and here you see the Aleph, it's got a tefach. The brim is one tefach. Isn't it nice with pictures? You see the picture. You just watch the pictures. You remember the pictures. You get the daf. Maybe I should like show the whole book with all the pictures for review. So anyway, so the Gemara thinks that if it's a wide brimmed hat, that's also like creating an oel arai. That's what Gemara thinks. So the Gemara says elamiyata sharbi beglime tefach hachanami daaser. Do you mean if a person, like, you see a guy, he's got this talus over his head, his cloak, and he spreads the cloak even, you know, one tefach beyond his head. So it's also prohibited? So the Gemara says, not. El lo kasha hadamahade kadalomahade. The Gemara says, no. That was not a question of making a ohel. The question is whether the hat is going to blow off his head. So one Bryce says you could wear the siyana, one says you can't. So if it's secured on his head, and Rashi learns that you have a strap that comes down, then you could wear the hat, otherwise not. Now, it says in the art scroll, this is in footnote 5, he says, the Shulchan, you can't wear a hat in the Rashid Rabbi unless it's either tight-fitting or it's tied under the chin, or his head goes deeply into it. In other words, the hat has to be secured well on your head in order to wear it in the Rishus Rabim. Otherwise, we're afraid it'll blow off and you'll come to carry it on Shabbat. Okay, now, so who's got questions either on the Kilat Chatanim or the hat with the sombrero?
The Chatanim bed. Can you go over that,
please? Okay, so the idea is that the Gemara learns that, again, we're setting... You don't want to set up an Ohel Arai on Shabbat. So to have an Ohel Arai, I need a Tefach roof. So if there's no Tefach roof, I'm not setting up an Ohel. So if I could set up this Kilat Chatanim in a way that I don't have a Tefach roof, I'm okay. So either the Tefach roof could be Tefach from the top, or the Tefach roof can be... Okay. Or the Tefach roof can be, if it comes down three Tefachim, and then there's a Tefach diameter here, or whatever you want to call it, the Tefach underneath here, that's also running afoul of it. Or if it, when it comes down at the base, you have a Tefach here, a Tefach here, I run into a problem. So the only way it's permissible, it's like a very sharp angle, then it's permissible. So then we said, well, how do I ever have a bed? Like Rashi says, it comes out the bed is like less than three Tefachim width. So Rashi says he thinks the case has got multiple peaks. And then if it's very sharp angle, then you could do it. Otherwise not. All right?
So the bottom can't be more than one Tefach either?
Right. Because in other words, he's saying...
Each side or the whole thing?
In other words, if from the middle point to the end is more than a Tefach, so then this side is counting as like a roof. Do you understand what I'm saying?
So that's going to be less than a Tefach.
In other words, when this thing widens out, in essence, I'm getting a roof from the wall. In other words, when they're just walls, I could use it. But when they're roof-like, I can't. Okay?
That's me. That's the Tefach on each side.
Right. All right? All right. Any other questions, comments, or thoughts?
We wear hats, 3 to 4 inch brim.
Yeah. So the Gemara... The Shulchan Aruch says, if you're wearing a hat in the Rishus HaRabim, it has to be a well-fitted hat. Either it has a strap or it fits your head very well, but there can't be a concern that it's going to blow off, then you may come to carry it in the Rishus HaRabim. That's what the Gemara says.
So the yeshiva kids that wear the hat on the back of their head, they're not allowed to do that.
I don't know.
Or maybe that's only got to do with white hats, but black hats is different.
All right. Let's go further.
They wear the white hats on Shabbos.
Okay. All right. Let's go. Okay. Now we're up to the next Mishnah. All right. Look at this. We're cutting through. We're almost to the end of the Masechta. Do you see it? You see it? We're getting through. We're almost at the end. This was a difficult Masechta. It took a lot of effort every daf. Okay. Now we're up to the next Mishnah. More pictures.
And we kept coming back.
Thank you. Baruch Hashem. Baruch Hashem. I'm very fortunate. All right. Now, let me see if I got my tzir here. Oh, they didn't have the picture with the tzir? What's doing? Oh. All right. But you remember, we saw this picture the other night. Where is the tzir? All right. But you remember the peg. Where we had this. Look how long ago it was. It's just. Oh, anyway, remember we had the door. Here we go. Here's the tzir. All right, let's see back in the Gemishna. So machzirin tzir hatachton b'mikdash. So the tzir hatachton. Here it's talking about a keli, and there was a door to like a closet, but like a moot, like a or a box or something like that. He says, so machzirin tzir hatachton b'mikdash. So if the bottom hinge came out, you could push it back in the base of Mikdash. In other words, he learns that pushing back, you have a door and the bottom hinge comes out. So he's learning like here, it looks like Shita and Amigdal, this type of door here, right? The door to like a closet. Oh, here we go. You see it? He's got a teva box here and he's got an arrow, the Aleph, and then pointing to the Tzir and Tachton. Okay. So here's a door. So like, I don't know, what are you, this credenza, whatever you call this. He says here, and then the bottom peg comes out. So he says here, so machzirin tzir hatachton b'mikdash. So the base of Mikdash, I could put it back in. He says, aval lo b'medina, but not outside the base of Mikdash. Meaning, that would be prohibited on a drabbanan level. And the base of Mikdash is permissible. V'ha'elyon, but if the upper one comes out, the thing is like flopping out. It looks like it's gone already. V'ha'elyon kan v'kan aser. The elyon inside the base of Mikdash, outside the base of Mikdash, that would be prohibited on a Torah level to restore because the whole door now needs to be attached. Now, this Tana holds that there's binyan b'kelim. There's a keli. So there's an opinion of the Gemara, ain't binyan b'kelim. This Tana holds there is binyan b'kelim. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, ha'elyon b'mikdash. The Tana Rabbi Yehuda says, the Elyon in the base of Mikdash is permissible to even be restored. He learns it's only the Rabbanon level. V'atachton b'medina. The Tachton you can restore b'medina. Okay? So let me just do a few more lines and we'll pause. Now, Tana Rabbanon, we learned the Braisa, Tzir Delet Shita Table Migdal. It's the Tzir, the bottom peg of the door for Shita Table Migdal. So Shita, he translates the pivot of the door to a carriage. He says a carriage, a teva or a migdal. He says a carriage, a crate, or a closet. That's what he says. She didn't have a migdal, but mikdash machzirin. So the base of Mikdash, I could restore it. But Medina dochikin. In the Medina, outside the base of Mikdash, I could sort of like, if it's slightly dislodged, it's not totally dislodged, I could push it back into place. V'ha'elyon, but the upper one, if that comes out, kan v'kan lo yachzir. Either way, I should not restore it in the base of Mikdash or outside the base of Mikdash. Now, the next line Rashi learns is going back to the Tzir HaTachton. Why can't I restore the Tzir HaTachton? That's a gzera shema yitka. It's a gzera that I may come to hammer it in. He says, v'im takoh chayav chatat. And if he hammers it in, then that would be a malacha deraisa, be chayav chatat. Now, the chatat might be for makeh b'patish, He says, shel bor v'shel dut v'shel yatzia. Now, let's say the door is not on a carriage. Here he didn't make a picture for me. Oh, here's got a little, oh, he didn't make a picture. Anyway, he says, let's say the door is on a bore, on a pit. In other words, the pit is in the ground. I have a door to the pit. That's like mechuber lakarka. He says, v'shel dut. Dut, and by the way, there's a Rashi here. If you look at Rashi, the second very wide line downstairs, second medium wide line, bor b'chafira, it's nice to remember this Rashi. Rashi says, a bore, you dig into the ground. He says, dut b'binyan b'tocha karka. Is kadaina. I don't know what is kadaina is, but in other words, it's like a structure that's built into the karka. In other words, like it could be paved with rocks or something like that. That's a dut. Okay, so bor is just digging a hole. That's a pit. And then the dut, which is maybe a cistern. So it's like, you know, bricked over or something like that. So back in the Gemara, he says, shel bor, shel dut, shel yatzia. If it's a door that's on this pit, the cistern, or the yatzia, and here's a picture of the yatzia. Looks like the way they draw it here, it's like a balcony. He says, lo yachazir, and here's the door. You see the doors in the picture? He wants to climb a ladder, and then there's doors getting into the yatzia, okay? So, shel yatzia, lo yachazir, he shouldn't put that back. If I put the door back there, then I'm chayav hatat. That's worse. That's mechuber lakarka, and that really is a, that would be a, an aveira on a Torah level. He says, even the slightest adjustment is malachet bona. All right. By the way, I want to just mention to you. Let me see if I can see the Rashi on this. One second. Yeah. If you look at the Rashi, this is 10 lines above where it gets medium wide. He's b'mikdash machzirin. He says kagon shetzrichim lo ledvar korban. If you need it for something that relates to the sacrificial service. There was salt, o lavona, frankincense, o ketoret, vein shvuk mikdash. Meaning, if the door is to a to a closet where it contains the salt or the lavona, that's why. So it says sorach for the avoda on the base of mikdash. So Rashi, it's in other words, Rashi you can see is learning that the shvus is only relaxed if it relates to the avoda. If it doesn't relate to the avoda, it's not relaxed. All right. Who's got questions, comments, or thoughts on anything I did so far? All right, I'm moving on.
So that's the basis for the difference between the Beit HaMikdash and the Medina.
We're 100% correct.
Okay.
All right, let's see further. Now, Okay, now we're again moving to a slightly different topic. Matnitin, Machzira Ritiya B'Mikdash, Avaloba Medina. A person, now Ritiya is the bandage with the medication on it. Think of it like a Vaseline or like some sort of ointment, you know, on the bandage. So Machzira Ritiya B'Mikdash, a person could put the bandage back in the base of Mikdash. Means if a Kohen, he has a wound on his hand, and now he has to do the Avoda. So he has to take it off. He's not allowed to have something between his hands when and whatever he's touching in the base of Mikdash would be chatzitza. But now afterwards he wants to put it back. So the Tana Mishnah says, Machzira Ritiya B'Mikdash of Olam Medina, he can put the bandage back in the base of Mikdash, but not in the Medina, not outside the base of Mikdash. Now here, it's not a question of doing Rifu on Shabbos because he had it on initially, but the question is of possibly being Mimareach. Mimareach is smoothing out like with the ointment. He says, Im betchila kan v'kan asur. But if he's putting on the bandage for the first time, that's prohibited both in the base of Mikdash and outside the base of Mikdash. Now, Rashi points out, and he connects this to the Gemara in Masechet Beya. So in the second very wide line in Rashi, he says there are things that the Gemara says, Shehutru sofan mishum tchilatan. If you wouldn't let the Kohen put the bandage back, he's not going to even want to do the avoda. In other words, I'm not getting involved with this. You know, I'm not going to take the bandage off. I'm not doing it. Goodbye. I'll see you around, or I'll do it and I'll leave the bandage on. So some things that were mocked here, so that to give you incentivize you to be willing to take it off. So the one second. Okay, now one minute. Give me 1 minute. All right. Let me just do a little further, then we'll see. Now, the Gemara
said, can I ask a question?
Go ahead.
The second half, if it's first time putting it on, that's a refuah problem.
So it could be a refuah problem, and it also could be a mamareach problem as well. 1 second. 17. What does he say here? Yeah, so the two issues would be refuah and memareach. Those are the two issues that it seems to me that would come into play. All right, let's see further in the Gemara. So the Gemara says, Tan Rabbana, we learn the Braisa, Ratiya Shaparsha Mial Gabi Maka Machzirin B'Shabbat. If the bandage fell off, the Tanakhama says, if the bandage falls off the Maka on Shabbos, so you're allowed to replace it. You can replace it on Shabbos. That's what the Tanakhama says. He says, even in the Medina. In other words, it's so unusual for it to fall off, so you have a green light to put it back on. He says, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Hukla Kalamata, Rabbi Yehuda says you're not allowed to put it back. So, but Rabbi Yehuda says, Hukla Kalamata, if it slips lower where it is, Do Kalamala, I can push it up. Lamala, Do Kalamata, Umagala Mixet Haritia, I can expose some of the bandage, Umakaneh Piyamaka, like reach in and clean out the wound. The Choser Umagala Mixet Haritia, and then I expose the other part. But I shouldn't clean out the bandage itself because I'll like smooth out like the ointment there. If I am mimareach, I'll be chayav chatat. That's the thing that we're concerned about, mimareach. So I'm Rabbi Yehuda Mar Shmuel, halacha ki Rabbi Yehuda. So Shmuel says the name of Rabbi Yehuda, that the halacha follows Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda says that if it falls off, I'm not allowed to put the bandage back on Shabbat. That's Rabbi Yehuda. I'm Rav Chista, lo shanu ela shapirsha al gabi kli. Now, Rav Chista says, the first opinion that says I could restore the bandage, that's only if it fell off on a kli. Of al pirsha al gabi karka debrei kol asur. If it fell on the ground, nobody says I could put it back. So the way he understands the machloket, if it falls on the ground, nobody holds I can put it back. If it falls on a kli could be like a pillow or a cushion. Tanakama holds I can put it back, and Rabbi Yehuda says I can't put it back. So Amar Bar Ravashi, Havakayim Kamei Da'aba. He says, Amar Bar Ravashi says, I was standing before my father, Ravashi, Nafalei Abaisadi. His bandage on Shabbat fell out on a pillow or a cushion. So our understanding now is that that's goof of the machlokim between the Tanakama and Rabbi Yehuda. Tanakama says I can put it back, and Rabbi Yehuda says I can't. Says Vikama Hadule, and then he put it back. So Aminale, Lo Sabar Lamar, Lahadamar of Chista Machloket, Shapir Shah al Gabi Kli. Don't you hold from Rav Chista said the Machloket is when it falls on a Kli, and we pass it like Rabbi Yehuda, we can't put it back. Aval Pir Shah Gabi Karkasur, if it's on the ground, everybody's toes prohibited. So Ba'amar Shmuel, Halachik Rabbi Yehuda. Shmuel says Halachik like Rabbi Yehuda. So he says Halachik like Rabbi Yehuda, even though your bandage fell out on a cushion, you can't put it back on Shabbat. So Amar Li, so he said to me, Lo Shmili, Klomor Lo Sfirli. I don't hold from that. Meaning, I don't think that that's what the Machloket was. I think that everybody holds when it falls on a cushion or a pillow, you could put it back, but when it falls on the ground, you can't. That's the way he conducted himself. Okay, now, just give me 1 second. Give me 1 second. I just want to look in. One second. All right. So anyway, so the main issues are we don't want people to be memareach. That's one concern, that people come to be memareach. And we don't want people to do refuah on Shabbat. If you had the bandage on already, so if it falls on the ground, it's like out of sight, out of mind. So then we don't permit you to put it back on. But if it falls on the cushion, so then, in other words, if it falls on the ground, it's like the same as putting it on for the first time. That's prohibited. When it falls on the cushion, it's just like replacing a bandage that fell off. LaCora, that's all I have.
I don't understand the difference, because either way, it's the same old bandage.
Which is another question. What if you need to replace the bandage?
Yeah, what about the pikuach nefesh?
Yeah, so it's not pikuach nefesh here. That's the first thing. Okay, so.
Whoa. I mean, what happens if you get an infection?
Then, well, let's say we're not talking about a case where we're worried about pikuach nefesh. Okay, that'll be the case. We're not worried about pikuach nefesh. All right, now, So you were asking me what's the difference about whether it falls on the ground or falls on the cushion, right?
Right.
All right. 1 second.
Because it's the same bandage either way.
No, and it's going to end up in the same place. You're going to put it back on your whatever part of your body it is.
No, it's saying if it falls on the floor, you shouldn't.
No. But
right, and that's
Fern's point is, if it falls on the couch, you can put it on. But if it falls on the ground, you can't.
Right.
But if you picked it up from the ground and put it on your arm, what's the difference between that and picking it off the couch and putting it on your arm? It's the same
thing.
That's
my question.
There you go. Us lawyers, we stick together.
Right. I didn't realize I needed a translation, but it was good.
That was not a translation. That was a clarification.
Okay. To be clear.
All right. So again, okay, let's all focus. So the Mishnah made a chiluk between, again, in the Mishnah itself, it says, Machzir Ratiya B'Mikdash Lo Medina. In other words, I could put the bandage on, back on, in the base of Mikdash, not in the Medina, but then in Betchila Kan V'Kan Asur, to put a bandage on for the first time, that's prohibited, right? Even in the base of Mikdash.
So that's limiting the Kula.
Right. In other words,
limiting it.
Okay, that's what the Mishnah itself says. To put a dressing on for the first time is prohibited. He says, right. Okay, so we're not gonna give you any leniencies if it's being put on for the first time. So the idea is, we're concerned that you're gonna be mamreach. You're gonna smooth off the ointment. So maybe you won't smooth off the ointment, but we don't want you to put a bandage on a Shabbat because you may smooth off the ointment. That's what it takes place. That's l'chora. And also there was another Easter about refu on Shabbat. So putting it on for the first time, not, but replacing it in the Beis HaMikdash, we're going to let you replace it in the Beis HaMikdash. Now, just 1 minute. 1 minute. Now.
Yeah, but you still
just 1 minute. Robert,
the question.
Robert, please wait just a minute, okay? Let me get you here 1 second.
He's building.
One second.
He's leading up to it.
Okay. All right. So that was one machloket. Then we mentioned in the Braisa, we had a machloket between the Tanakama and Rebbe Yehuda. If a bandage falls off a maka on Shabbos, you can put it back on Shabbos, is what the Tanakama holds. Even outside the base of Mikdash, I can put the bandage back on. Please, I need everybody to mute themselves. Right, let me go back. I keep muting everybody, and people unmute themselves. Please, everybody mute themselves. Just wait, okay? Now, okay. So the Braisa is saying that just like we saw in the base of Mikdash, the Mishnah said that you could put back a bandage outside the base of Mikdash. The Tanakama holds I could put back a bandage that I had already on from before Shabbat. So if the bandage was on before Shabbos, the Chachamim didn't create a gezeira where I had the bandage on already from before Shabbos. So, but if I didn't have it on before Shabbos, he said, we don't want you to put a bandage on Shabbos. We're afraid you'll be memareach. But if you had it on before, you get sort of grandfathered in. That was the basic idea. So the Gemara is saying that when something falls on the floor, it's like my mind is like, I'm mesiach das from it. It's like nothing to do with me. So to put that on again, that's like putting on a fresh new bandage. When it just falls on the cushion, here, I'm picking it up, I'm putting it back on again. That's the chiluk that Gemara is saying. That in other words, we're creating a chiluk, whether you're putting it on from scratch or you're putting it on again. So if it falls on the floor, we consider that to be from scratch. That's what it's saying. In other words, it's like out of sight, out of mind. It fell on the floor. I don't want to have anything to do with this bandage. I'm picking it up and doing it again, but it's like mufka for me. So that's like putting on a new bandage, and then that's prohibited on a rabbinic level. But if it only fell on the cushion, so then I could put the bandage back, according to the Tanakama, and according to Rabbi Yehuda, I can't. That's what we learned. So then we quoted this incident with Rav Ashi. The bandage fell off, fell on the cushion. So according to Rav Ashi, everybody agrees. If it falls on the cushion, everybody agrees I'm allowed to put the bandage back on. Okay, now, all right, we only have a few minutes, but quickly, who's got questions, comments, and thoughts? Now's time to talk. Robert, I can't hear you. You're muted. You got to unmute yourself, Robert. Now it's time to unmute yourself. Go.
The distinction between the cushion and the floor makes no sense.
Right.
If the premise is... You don't want to smooth the thing, or you don't want to put the bandage on for the first time. I get that. But the bandage is on. Okay. Yeah. So whether it's the cushion or not the cushion, yeah, if you can put it on from one place,
it makes no sense why you can't put it on from the other. I mean, the way I would say
that
is
was the question.
Okay, the way I would say is the Chachamim are making a rabbinical enactment. The rabbinical enactment is you can't put a bandage on for the first time. You can put the bandage back on if you had it on from before Shabbos. But if the bandage, let's say the bandage fell on my front lawn, and now I want to go out and put it on. So there the Chachamim are saying, it fell on the front lawn, it's like putting on a new bandage. It's like my mind, I'm like my siach das from it. It's like putting on a new bandage. If it fell on the desk in front of me, so that's not like putting on a new bandage. Okay, listen, I got to move on. I have very little time. That's the best I could do with this, okay? I apologize. Okay, now we're 8 lines from the bottom, and then we're going to have to finish up the daf for tonight, okay? So, Manitin, kosher nima b'mikdash v'lo b'medina. In the base of Mikdash, they had musical instruments, which Levim used as part of the avoda with the Korbanot Tzibur. So the harp is one of them, a stringed instrument. If the string on the harp broke, you're allowed to tie it and not in the Medina. Now, this Tana holds that, in other words, for the avoda, you're allowed to do malacha on Shabbos. In the base of Mikdash, they're doing constant malacha on Shabbat, but for the avoda, they're shechting animals is an avoda. You know, they're burning fire on the mizbeach is a malacha. They're doing that. So this Tana holds that the machshirim, in other words, like playing the musical instruments is part of the avoda. The machshirim, the preparatory acts, are also allowed. Remember, we had in Reb Lezer the Mila. Reb Lezer says you have a Mila on Shabbos. I'm allowed to burn coals, burn wood to make coals to help prepare the knife for the bris mila on Shabbos. Do you remember we had this in Reb Lezer de Mila and Kuf Lamed and Shabbat? So this Tana holds the machshirim for mitzvah or also docha Shabbos. So kosher nima b'mikdash olo medina. So I could tie the string, which is a malacha d'oraisa, into the base of mikdash, but not outside the base of mikdash. V'mitchila kan mekan aser. But if it had been broken from before Shabbos, then it's prohibited whether inside or outside the Beis HaMikdash, because they should have done it before Shabbos. So the Gemara says, we post a contradiction from the following Braisa. Nimat kinor shenifsaka, if the string on a harp broke, lo ya kosher al onva, he wouldn't tie it, he wouldn't knot it, he'd make a bow. A bow, you're permitted to make a bow on Shabbat. So our Mishnah says I could tie a knot, and this says I can only make a bow. So the Gemara says, lo kasha, harabanan v'harab lezer. So the Gemara says, no contradiction, because this is Tanluin Machlok between the Chachamim and the Tan Reb Lezer that I just referred to. Again, are Machshirim permissible on Shabbat? He says, the Reb Lezer damar Machshirim mitzvah dochina Shabbat kosher. According to Tan Reb Lezer, he says, the Machshirim mitzvah I'm allowed to do on Shabbos. If the mitzvah itself I could do on Shabbos, the Machshirim for the mitzvah I could do on Shabbos as well. So I could do a bris on Shabbos. So I could do the machshirim. I could prepare the knife. I could create the knife. I could build an oven to smelt the metal to create the knife on Shabbat. I can cut down a tree to help burn, make a fire that I, you know, can prepare the knife on Shabbat, according to the Tana Reb Lezer. So Tana Reb Lezer says the harp is also machshir mitzvah. In other words, or preparing the harp is a machshir mitzvah because the harp is part of the avoda. The Rabbanan to Amri ain dochen. According to Chamim, no, it's not doche. He says onva. So they say the only thing they do is make a bow. I'm allowed to make a bow on Shabbat. So the Gemara says, I Reb Lezer, afil lechachilinami. But if it's going like the Tana Reb Lezer, so then even lechachila I could do it. Meaning, even if I knew about it from before Shabbat, I'd be allowed to do it. Like this Tana's Mishnah says, it's only if it happened on Shabbat I could do it. But according to Tana Reb Lezer, even from if I knew about it before Shabbos, I didn't do it, I can still do it on Shabbat. El lo kasha. So Gemara revises understanding and says there's no contradiction. Ha Rabbi Yehuda v'ha Rabbanan. Is talui with a different machloka between Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim. Rabbi Yehuda holds that even a bow is a malacha d'oraisa. Rabbi Yehuda is not machalik between a bow and a knot. So he's going to hold, and the Mishnah will be like Rabbi Yehuda. So he'll hold the machshir medoche Shabbos. And the other one is going like the Chachamim, like, who hold it a bow. So where I could do a bow, I'll do a bow. I won't be Mechal Shabbos. So the Gemara says, Rabbi Yehuda Alib Daman. But who is, in other words, right now we only know of two Shitot. We know Reb Lezer says Machshirim are always permissible. Even if I knew about it from before Shabbos, Machshirim are permissible on Shabbos. Chamim or Mechulik with him say it's never permissible to do Malacha for the Machshirim on Shabbat. The Tan of our Mishnah, though, has like a middle shita, which we're not familiar with. The Tan of our Mishnah says that the machshir medoche Shabbos, if I discovered on Shabbos, if I discovered before Shabbos, then not permissible. So where is that coming from? So the Gemara says, Rabbi Yehuda libetaban, Rabbi Yehuda, who says that both the bow and the regular knot are prohibited on Shabbat, who is he working with? Il libet Reb Lezer, top line, il libet Reb Lezer kamar, if he's going with Reb Lezer, afilu lechachila nami. So then even lechachila should do it. Elo, the second line, el lo kasha, harib shimon, harabanan. So the Gemara says, one, our mission is like the chachamim, and there is a third opinion, which we're going to come to in a minute, that holds that the machshirim are permissible only if it happens on Shabbos. And that's going to be according to the Tana Reb Shimon. And we're going to see this according to the Chamin where Mechulak with Reb Shimon. It says, lo kasha, ha Reb Shimon ha Rabbanan. Titania, ben Levi shenifska lo nima bekinor. If a ben Levi, his harp breaks on Shabbat, kosher, so he's allowed to tie it. So that's like our Mishnah. In other words, this Tana holds the machshirim for the mitzvah, which would be like tying, you know, the knot on the harp, the string for the harp, is only permissible when it happens on Shabbat. And now we found the opinion we're looking for. And the Braisa that says I have to do an aniva, that's like Reb Shimon. Reb Shimon Omer onva. Reb Shimon says, no, you're only allowed to make a bow on it. The machshirim are not, we think, according to Reb Shimon, machshirim are not doche Shabbos. So since the machshirim are not doche Shabbos, I can only make a bow, which is permissible on Shabbat. He says, Reb Shimon Elazar Omer. Reb Shimon Elazar says, I disagree with both previous opinions. Afi ina mishman and akol. Neither one of those solutions are solutions, making the knot or the bow, you're not going to hear the sound isn't going to sound the way it should sound. Ella, Michelle, here you should do the whole malacha. He also holds his doka, but I'll do the regular, the full overhaul. El Michelle shel milamata v'korach milamala. He'll unwind the string from the bottom. I know they have certain, you know, like rollers that do it. So I'll unring the string from the bottom, and then I'll wrap it on the top. Okay, so the Gemara wants to say that we had a steer between our Mishnah and the Braisa. Our Mishnah says that he'll make a knot, right? Our Mishnah says he'll make a knot. The Braisa says he'll make a bow, right? And here you see like it looks like a guitar, you know, and they have things here. So
violin.
A violin? Okay. So you're right, a violin. So the so one says I make a bow, one says I make a knot. So the Gemara says they represent different opinions of the Tanoim. So our Mishnah represents the Chachamim who are mechulak with Reb Shimon. The Chachamim who are mechulak with Reb Shimon say the Machshirim are only docha Shabbos when it happens on Shabbos. That means before Shabbos, not docha. And then the Braisa reflects Reb Shimon. Reb Shimon says it's never docha, so I have to make a bow. All right, listen, I have to end the daf now. I don't think I'm going to get to the Mishnah. I'm going to leave you four lines short. I apologize. Now, let me just stop the recording. One second.